Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Live on Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. With me tonight, I got two amigos. I got Ian Boyd, the X's and O's guru. I got Drew Kelson, brains and brawn. This is going to be live tonight. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about, guys. We got a spring game in 3 days. We've got some recruiting news coming in hot and heavy. The transfer portal. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with the transfer portal. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. You can tell the questions have already lined up. We've got a lot of people waiting for us. I'm kind of ready to jump in. What about you guys?
Do what we can. I know Eric is working hard on getting more scoop all the time, and hopefully he can join us before we...
That's what I'm hoping too. Eric got a big call right before we were about to go on. And so if I had an emoji, it'd be fire. That's what it would mean. It'd mean that's what Eric's doing. And it's not because he has spicy food. It's because he's got some good stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes an appearance. We'll love it. But let's go ahead and get started. Drew, I'm going to let you, lead this one off, throw you a softball. What's the best thing coming out of a spring game besides being injury-free? What's the best thing that you, when you went through it and you went before and after, what was the biggest takeaways that you got from that spring scrimmage? Hey, Drew, see if you're muted.
The standard gets set. Oh, shit. There we go. All right, guys. Yeah.
Now we're ready.
No fun stuff. No, so what happens in spring games is the standard is usually set. So they let us know, like, this is what the expectations are, how you're supposed to show up. So you just want to be clean. You want to leave playing better, looking better, sharper than you came in. So that's just what it comes down to. But you want to make some plays, too. It's different than a game day setting because the sideline's a little looser. It's more fun. You have fan engagement. It's not crazy. So you also want to make plays. So if you can get your hand on the ball as a defender, if you can score a touchdown, cause a fumble, get a big hit.
Anything.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Because you won't be able to do it again until September.
So that's – good point. Yeah. Good point. It gives you a little, he showed up. Tell me you got something good since you ducked out on us. Tell us you got some good stuff. Eric Nolene, everybody, managing publisher at Inside Texas.
Well, I mean, it's an excused absence. I had to take care of Inside Texas first and finish off an article. I got a late call. I was looking at the clock and I said, I'm just going to have to be late for this one. We can stay on later if we have to. You know what I found out is I think that this portal window is going to be busier than I anticipated. Ooh. Previously I thought it was going to be, hey, one defensive tackle, maybe two defensive tackles, and call it a two-week period. I don't think so. This is what I've heard is that they're going to be a lot more proactive than I originally thought, that fundraising is going really well. They've really hastened the efforts in recent weeks. That's going to continue throughout the weekend, the spring game. And I'm expecting a little more fireworks and drama than I anticipated. I'm not saying anything about Michigan over there, Roaster, but I think they're in for a surprise or two. And, I think DeMonic Williams is going to be quite interesting because unless one of those Michigan guys go in, I don't know who's going to be a better player than him relative to scarcity and the need that so many teams have. So I'm buckling up. I almost started a moderator-only thread, but I couldn't bring myself to do it just yet. But the phone calls I had lead me to believe that this is going to be a little bit busier time for us than we anticipated.
In the last window, we were looking, obviously, at certain positions, but also that BPA, best player available. Do you feel like that's still in the mindset looking into this April spring window, E?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple positions where they won't pursue. But there's going to be a lot of positions that I thought were safe. And if there's a guy, they're going to bring a guy in. If the guy meets their standards, evaluations, the culture, all those aspects, and he upgrades the roster, even if he's a guy that, hey, maybe he's the three guy, but he's improving over the current three guy, they're going to be very proactive. It was a pretty interesting, 30 minutes of phone calls. I'm really curious to see how the next couple of weeks come out. They might take three defensive tackles. Justin, I think you actually hinted at the possibility of three defensive tackles. I kind of laughed at the notion. My apologies right here in front of everybody on here.
Hey, Ian, were you ever able to check out the Arizona defensive tackle Wild Bill Norton yet? Have you been able to watch him? because he's going to be on campus this weekend. Eric's already put in an RPM, so he feels good. Tell me what you see from Wild Bill, 6'6", 325, and how he can contribute to this defensive line if he chooses the horns.
I think he might almost be a little more valuable for Texas this next year than Demonic Williams or Dominique, right? Is because he's a very clear fit for what they want. He's 6'6", so he can control engagements. He's like 325 pounds. He's hard to move. He was two gapping at Arizona, which is really valuable because that means they don't have to spend the offseason trying to teach it to him. That's what they want him to do. I think Williams was a really exciting player. He's only a sophomore this last year at TCU. So you imagine he's got a lot of upside left. But he played in a different style than Texas has been running. And I don't know if he's quite as much of like a plug-and-play guy as Norton is, even though his athletic upside is probably higher. So, I mean, if they can get both, they should, because they don't have a lot of guys behind like Broughton, Collins, Sevilla, you know, these older guys that are going to be gone in a year. If they can load up on prospects in the portal, they should. Williams maybe would start next year, so he's more than a prospect. But I think Norton is like an obvious, like, plug a leak kind of guy, get 30, 40 snaps out of him every game and fill a need of somebody that can hold the point and fit the gap properly. But, you know, Williams would be great too. And the thing about three is, like I just said, somebody pointed out on the message board the other day, they're like, hey, who plays three technique after Collins and Broughton are gone in a year? It's like, well, Jarre Bledsoe and,
yeah,
somebody else young has to be really good, I guess.
Yeah, it's even more terrifying in 2025 than it is in 2024. Yeah, it's every year they lost severe talent. They literally had six defensive tackles, NFL defensive tackles, when they arrived, and how many they have now still are four or two that remain from when they first got here, and then after that it's all question marks.
Which kind of shows, Bo Davis might have some skins in the development department, but in the recruiting department, let's see how much sway LSU actually gives him. Chris Bennett asked a good question. The last time we had weather, this is what's reminded me of it. Be sure Saturday, we're going to be at Posse East on Saturday. Rain or shine, Inside Texas is going to be at Posse East, so please come down there and see us. Come and join us. And we were actually talking about what Chris said a few days ago, the last time. And I remember I was in the press box. Do you guys remember 2016 and what we saw in that spring game?
Yeah. I believe they cut it off at halftime, right? I think I went into the game and I was like, hey, look, don't make too much out of the quarterback play. We'll see what happens in the fall. And then like two plays in, I was like, never mind. Shane Buechele is going to start this year.
I predicted that when they recruited him. I said, this guy is going to start immediately because you look at the rest of the roster. And that's why I wanted him over even Jalen Hurts, because they needed a guy that could start immediately. And that was Shane.
Yeah, and he came in and he was good. And he's going into his fourth season in the NFL right now. So you got to tip your cap to that guy. Before you came on, Eric, Drew was talking about, you know, spring games have passed. What they were going into, what were they trying to accomplish. My biggest caveat is always injury free. If you can get out of that game without an injury, that is what you call a win. Put a banner up if you need to, but no injuries is big. Drew, I got two questions. One, how eager are you to see this secondary, these linebackers in secondary? And two, are you going to be in Austin on Saturday for the game?
So one, no, I will not be in Austin. I wish I was. I got tied up in obligations that's already planned. But it'll be fun. I will be watching the game. Okay. So I'm excited to do that. I want to see what these run fits look like because everybody's talking run fits. And as much as we associate that so much with the DT position, I want to see how the linebackers are playing off of that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's easier, should be easier for your DTs to not get reached, to be in their gaps, to be where they're supposed to be. But the linebackers have to be able to fill in and play off of that. I'm just wondering how the offense has stretched this defense. Run fits can get very, very challenging when you're shifting tight ends and motioning players and moving players in and out of the backfield. And so if the defense was installing something new this year, as well as kind of getting some new DTs in place and some new people in position to really read differently. Because frankly, whatever they were doing last year, they cannot do moving forward. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it. So I imagine that that's something that just I want to see clean play from that standpoint. But that's it. That's what stands out to me.
You'll be there in spirit, Drew, and that's that matters to us. That's how we do it at Inside Texas. It's about family. Ian Boyd, you've probably written about each position on this team three or four times before Saturday, or will rather. What's the one position you're watching Saturday with the most curiosity?
Maybe linebackers too, like Drew. Like, it's just such a cerebral position. They have some really promising guys there that by all accounts sound like they're going to be good.
Yeah.
But where we last saw them, they were still, you know, learning things. Like, you know, obviously Anthony was just a freshman. Blackwell and Benda look a little better every year, but they each could have a big leap in them. I want to see if we can see that manifested yet. There's a bunch. I want to see the edges. I want to see Cameron Williams versus whichever edge he gets to face.
Yes.
I want to see the tackles, the defensive tackles, how they look. You can tell if they're giving ground or they're losing their gap. That's not something you can hide unless they just don't run the ball. So we'll get to see some of that. There's a lot of things. I always get sucked in with the quarterbacks too. It's like, how can you not want to see the quarterbacks and make wild takeaways, right?
Well, hey, for all you viewers, and thank you again for joining us tonight. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have our deep dive with Ian, myself, and Paul Waddlington, and we're going to dissect Quinn Ewers. We're going to break him down, what he does well and what he doesn't do well. We got video. That turned out to be a really good show, a really good episode, and so please be sure, like and subscribe to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel so you'll get that ding in the morning. You'll know that you can get it up and watch. Eric, same thing to you as I did to Ian. I asked for one position, and he gave me nine. You have written about, you know, from team reports, practice reports, since the bowl game, you've had this thing covered. What's one thing that you're curious enough to see?
I think the second most important position group in football is probably the offensive line. And I want to see if they're truly taking the leap that we hope they will. And obviously if they're living up to their end of the bargain on the, causing the run fit issues, right? How are the run fit issues, being caused from confusion, or are they gaining ground? Like Ian was talking about, last year I knew that the offensive line was going to be a work in progress, but end up being pretty good. Are they picking up where they left off, or are they kind of starting over? I feel pretty confident that they're picking up where they left off. And if they do that, it's going to be a huge it'll be a force multiplier along with Quinn that should get this offense over 40 points a game for the season.
You know, over the last it's 5:30 somewhere, Drew. It's all good.
He said over 40 points a game. Like, do we realize what we're talking about?
Well, they scored 35 last year. They couldn't score in the red zone. They left a lot of points on the board last year. Wasn't it 35? I think it was 35.
Yeah, I forgot we're playing in the same league.
Well, it's not the same league there, Drew. It's not the same league.
Yeah.
Well, you got an extra non-conference game.
I don't know if it's the linebacker or the defensive part of me, but 40 points a game just sounds – That's not normal. We're saying it like it's happening, and so I want it to happen. But
didn't you play on a team that got 50 a game one year?
That was different too, dude.
They had Greg Davis as the offensive coordinator.
It was Greg Davis. That's true.
Yeah.
The savant. I mean,
yeah.
Texas fans never gave him the right love.
Yeah. 40 a game.
Drew, Chris got a question for you. What crowd sizes? Like, what are the crowd sizes like for the spring games when you were at Texas? That's actually a good question, because if the weather will, cooperate, there could be a good chunk of people that show up on Saturday. And unlike Oklahoma, Texas will not be charging admission. So what were crowd sizes? I remember some of those spring games because I think I remember you playing safety in one and getting and over pursuing on, I think it was Matt Norgren, who wound up going about 45 up your side of the field because you over pursued.
We need footage of that.
I hope you were at linebacker like a month later. Go figure. I don't know.
Jeez.
Trust me. I did not. The reason why I moved to linebacker is because I was one of the best 11 on the field that spring.
I believe.
And there's no way that happened if if Norco ran up the sideline against me. I don't remember every play, but that shit ain't happened. I'll say this though. The biggest spring game was the one after the first Rose Bowl. I mean, all it took was VWAC saying we're back. You know, and then you know that spring game, the momentum after that game, just throughout that entire season, could have been a movie in and of itself, reflecting back, because after that Michigan game, that entire journey for the next year has like moments that you just remember that stand out. And the spring game was one of them. It was businesslike and fun for us, but we had a lot of fun, man. But that was the one where so many people showed up. It just couldn't be matched. That was my biggest spring game, was going into my sophomore year. I was playing safety then, but moved to linebacker the next year.
Ian, last year it felt like Sark was testing Arch Manning. Okay, I'm going to give you only a portion of the playbook. You're going to play behind the third string offensive line, and your receivers are likely going to be walk-ons. It felt pretty obvious. What should we expect from Arch in this game? Obviously, it's going to be different. He's the backup quarterback now. He's been there a year. What are your expectations there for him this year?
Yeah, you got to wonder. I bet Sark is much happier to build him up a little bit this year. I think Ewers is pretty cemented as the starter. I don't think Sark's going to be worried about transfers or controversy. So maybe he lets Arch let it rip a little bit and not try to beat first-team corners with walk-ons like he did last year while Malik Murphy got like – Malik Murphy, what did he throw, like Jonte Cook against – a dude that I had never heard of before.
They stacked the deck for Malik. I think they brought in actual NFL players for Malik on offense. And it was like, okay, we want to make sure he's taken care of. They brought in all pros. So I don't think it's going to be this bad this year, though. I think Arch is going to be just fine.
I think it'll be fun to watch. I'm curious to see if he plays any games with things like that. Maybe he'll protect the defense. I don't know.
Jared Johnson delivered is a good question right here. Can someone explain the transfer process for players transferring between SEC teams? Eric, you and I and Joe got this subject a little bit earlier this week. They have to sit out a year. Walter Nolan at Ole Miss status. You want to give them the latest?
The reason there is the SEC forgot that A&M was in the conference. And so happened was Walter was able to move over there, get comfortable before A&M found, or before the SEC found out, were reminded that A&M was in the conference. I'm just kidding.
There's a lot of truth to that.
The winter window is different than the spring window. The spring window, there is no interconference transfer. During the winter, you can. So Texas will be back on SEC. SEC internecine battles with trying to poach each other's staffs rosters. That's just what happens. And then once that portal, that winter portal window closes, everybody breathes a giant sigh of relief, because now you have to worry about, you know, Big Ten schools, ACC schools, or whatever, and that's not nearly as daunting as protecting your own from the SEC. So that was a deal, man. Yeah, Walter Nolan went to Ole Miss, and that was free and clear. There was a lot of SEC inter-SEC transfers. I mean, look at, you know, Texas got Isaiah Bond, same deal.
No, and I think that's why people are confused, because they saw so much movement there, and now they know that it's not possible. But it's really a changing of windows. Eric, while I've got you. You know, transfer portal news is really big right now, obviously. Opened up this week, ton of kids in, as expected. Texas has guys they're targeting. Could go with a BPA as well, as you talked about earlier. Let's talk a little bit about high school recruiting. Because in the last month, Texas has gotten two more recruits, commits for the 2025 cycle. And they're hosting a handful of more others in this thing on Saturday. Over the last few weeks, they've had some of the most priority guys show up. Five-star, top-end guys that you want to connect with, that you want to see. So I don't think this group has the star power volume, but it's got some really good guys top-heavy. Zion Williams, James Simon.
Andrew Marshall's in, right?
Andrew Marshall's supposed to be in. What are you expecting from these guys? I'll come off of your answer a little bit, because I've got a little bit I want to talk about on James Simon.
Yeah, so Simon is clearly one to watch for obvious reasons. You've been all over that one. Zion's the one I care about the most just because, you know, I always talk about defensive tackles. If I'm talking recruiting, I'm talking about bigs more often than not.
Yeah,
the skill players are fun, and you want them to get the best wide receivers, of course, because you see how much that opens up the offense for Sark. But, man, you cannot get defensive tackles in the portal. I mean, it's very hard. That's why, you know, the recruiting world is going to be going bonkers over defensive tackles the next couple of weeks. So Zion Williams, huge priority, just because a guy like him is a lot more difficult to get out of the portal, almost impossible, than it is to get in high school. And, you know, we just talked about it. Bo Davis did not leave the same stacked room that he inherited. So they have to rebuild it to some degree. They've done a great job of rebuilding pretty much every room on the roster, an exceptional job, really, outside of maybe defensive tackle. So that's really the one that sticks out to me the most. But also Andrew Marsh, man, I just love that kid's game. He plays with an element of power that most wide receivers don't, and he's got the flair for the acrobatic catch as well.
I think there's two interesting storylines with this recruiting list. One is James Simon, who I talked about a little bit and you mentioned. That's the tailback out of Calvary Baptist in Shreveport. I think that one's trending pretty heavy to Texas right now, gentlemen. I think when Lindsey jumped in the boat for LSU last weekend in the 2025 cycle, a tailback out of Alexandria, it felt like James Simon might be the next one up, especially with Jordan Davison, the modern-day tailback, trending to Ohio State a little bit of late. Seems like Ohio State's got a little bit more of a sell in the depth chart department than Texas does. That's nothing against Coach Choice. He generally gets who he wants, but that room is stacked, and they haven't had to go to the portal to do it. And so that gives you an idea of the relationships he's building. I like James Simon in Texas a lot right now. I'm not even sure if it'll go. He's got one official visit scheduled, and that's Texas June 21st to the 23rd, and I have my doubts he'll make it to that date before a decision. The other one is quarterback. KJ Lacy's going to be on campus. The quarterback commit out of Saraland, Alabama, four-star. But so is Keelan Russell. That's the Duncanville quarterback. And Josh Newberger at On3 Recruiting put me on the spot.
Yeah, he got you today.
Yeah, but I had to tell the truth. You got to be honest.
That's the thing, man. Evaluation, you know, it doesn't care about your feelings.
It doesn't. And I'm a KJ Lacy fan, just like you are, just like you guys are. You've seen enough of his tape to know that this kid can do it at the next level. Keelan Russell might have more upside. He definitely has more zip. He definitely has better size. And he's doing it at a program that does not even throw the ball. They don't like to throw the ball, but they're starting to. When you've got a DeCorian Moore and you've got a Zachary Turner, they're starting to open it up a little bit more. To me, that storyline is, will they take two quarterbacks in 2025? Because when Quinn goes to the draft next year, that's two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. So you almost feel like they might need to. And not to mention Russell's connection with DeCorian Moore. How important is that, Eric? And how much do fans need to kind of pay attention and go to Inside Texas every 5 minutes and refresh?
Well, you know, I don't think they would offer Keelan just to get to Corian. I don't think they'll – first of all, I'm not sure they'll have to do that. I think, you know, Sark is so serious about his quarterback evaluations. You know, the offers that he sends out are very rare. I mean, he didn't even offer Will Griffin recently, and Will Griffin is a freaking stud. So I don't think he's going to play that game. If he goes on Keelan, it's going to be because, you know, Keelan earned that based on his own evaluation. And the quarterback room, you know, numbers are important. I'll tell you one we got to talk about. Riley Pettijohn's going to be there as well, right?
He is. He talk is. About, and after Bo talk Barnes
fast, jumped in the talk boat. About fast linebackers like the man in the right-hand corner here. Riley ran 10.77 recently and it just has a really good frame for it. High upside guy. And Johnny Nansen, you know, he's going to land some studs to go with Elijah Barnes.
Yeah, Barnes went ahead and jumped in the boat. You know, we had talked about if he would make it. To official visits, we really didn't know. Eric, I think we should have seen it coming more so because when he walked out of Moncrief with a Texas defensive handbook,
I thought,
man, that's probably a good sign. But it wasn't as much as it wasn't anything that we made.
We're just so used to them waiting to once they get this far, they typically just want to wait till the summer and go have some OVs. Yeah, we got caught napping a little bit. We knew he loved Texas, and you and Charlie had RPMs in. We should have probably been on our toes a little bit more, but. That's all right. You know, we're not going to see everything coming.
The beauty of it is nobody was on their toes for Bo Barnes.
See, which you don't understand is what it's like to walk on that campus, on unofficial visit. They walk you in and they give you this nice little – you're just getting the tour. They're treating you right. Your family's being treated right. And you're like, you know what?
Tell me more, Drew. I mean, this is the good stuff.
It really – like, I'm just that's how it happens. I went to Texas – with no plans to stay in Texas. I wasn't planning to stay in Texas. I always told myself I wanted to go away from home. That was it. My parents went to U of H. But when I went to Austin and they're treating my mom right, and mom was just happy. I'm proud of myself for getting to the point where my mom gets to come get, you know, let's go have some food, you know, treats and nice, like, let's get a tour of this university that you will not have to pay for me to attend. I was proud. You know, you walk in there and then they shower you with just, hey, we think you're this. We think you're a good kid. We think you could add value in this way. We're going to help you become a this and a that and a man and a hell yeah. I'm signing on the dotted line to be a Longhorn and to make this happen. That is how this happens. I mean, you have a game plan and then you walk away.
You got punched in the mouth.
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, huh?
Hey, Texas kept you away from Stanford. So I think Mack Brown, those guys, they did their job. Because you got to stand your vibe to you, nerd. You got
to
stand.
I would have made it to Palo Alto. I don't know if I would have made it back. I'm sorry.
You don't think so? Hey, here's a good question here from Brent Kennard. He basically says, how are the two new coaches working out as recruiters and developers? Ian or Eric, I'm going to let you tackle one of those each.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a tough question there, my buddy.
It is.
You know, because we haven't seen it with our own eyes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we just started hearing about Dre Bledsoe. I was hoping to hear about Dre Bledsoe a lot earlier in the spring block. But I can't blame that on Kenny Baker. I just, you know, Dre Bledsoe hasn't, you know, the light hasn't come on super quick for him to begin with. Developers, I think we're going to have to wait until, you know, early season to get an idea on that. As a recruiter, he's definitely, you know, took a few minutes to catch his breath. Kind of assemble his big board. They don't come in and just start picking up where the last guy left off. They want to do their own evaluations. They're going to want to see how much scheme input they have to get the right fits. And so I think it did take him a little bit longer to probably start really hitting the ground. But you know, he's coaching at Texas and he's got all those things that Drew was just talking about that he can make up ground in a hurry on guys that he needs to. So I like where he's at now with Zion. I think he's doing pretty good with DJ Sanders. Chase Sims will be in this weekend. I really like the way that kid plays. It's not going to be a really wow player, but he can definitely play at this level. So I think he's going to assemble a pretty good class. And Nansen does receive high marks for his coaching. But I have heard that there is a bit of a transition between the way he's coaching run fits and Jeff Choate. So I do think there's been a bit of a transition for the players, not just the coach. Apparently he understands football at a very high level. You can tell that he's not a position coach. You can tell that he's more of a coordinator out there. Very detail oriented, and then as a recruiter, I mean, his, you know, all you got to do is look him up and see the guys he's gotten. He's gonna do very well in the cycle. He has very good timing because, you know, Texas was already in a good position with all these kids. Jeff Choate left them in a very good spot, and then he picked up right where Choate left off. Those kids like Texas to begin with, and then the state was just filled with good linebackers. So Jonathan Cunningham, we got to talk about him a little more. I think at linebacker, I think, you know, Texas might set up shop with nothing but Houston DBs, and they might set up with nothing but linebackers from DFW. We'll see how it plays out. But Nansen's doing a great job.
I want to also add, too, that, you know, with Kenny Baker, I think it just took a little bit of time. You know, Zion is the masterpiece there. That's the must-get guy, in my opinion. And he's relationship-centered. Like, whoever built – that's why I think LSU kind of had the upper hand for a while and may still to a slight advantage because Bo Davis built that relationship earlier. And Kenny has some catching up to do. He was tremendous in that April 6th visit. I mean, he could not have done any better with his one-on-one time with Zion Williams. That was huge. The fact that Zion skipped LSU spring game last Saturday, he'll be back in Austin this weekend. I think him in front of Kenny again is going to be a net plus. I think that's – the more they see each other, the more they get used to each other. When that trust builds, I think that's when you'll see a little bit more of a shift with Zion Williams. I still feel like it's a Texas LSU battle. A&M, TCU, Alabama, they're all going to be in the mix, but I feel like this is going to come down to Texas and LSU. Zion seeing Kenny again face-to-face after in 2 weeks later, to me, is invaluable. I think that's big. And again, Texas gets the last OV, whereas LSU's OV, I believe, is in mid-May. And to me, that's pretty significant. So
yep.
It says, I got this from Victor Santiago. Is Texas interested in that recent TCU interior D lineman that jumped into the portal? Ian Boyd talked about him a little bit earlier. Demonic Williams. His name's Dominic. I'm sure they pronounce it Dominic, but I didn't look it up, and you know, you never know. But no, Ian, just touch on that just a little bit again for Victor, who's coming in late. That's a guy that I think Texas is going to take a good look at.
Yeah, Texas is going to be all in on him. You could go ahead and talk about him as a player, but the question he asked is if they're going to be after him. Hell yeah, they're going to be after him. They it's the biggest need. They're extremely proactive. Go to Inside Texas right now. Use UT1 or is it IT1? IT1. YouTube get mad at us if we use them, right? IT1. $1 for 2 months. Somebody's got to be deflationary around us. It's around here. It's going to be us. 2 months, $1. Long article I just wrote about the current status of Texas and the portal. But yes, they're going to be all over Williams. It's going to be a spirited pursuit. He'll be at OU this weekend. USC will try to get in there. Georgia will probably try. I mean, you know, everybody needs a D tackle. But yeah, Texas is going to be there. And I think Texas is going to be tough to beat. But we'll see how it plays out.
Ian, what did you see from him last year when he no longer had a Dylan Horton beside him?
It was a little bit different. He was not quite – they moved him around more. They asked more of him, and they had less around him. So it was not quite as impressive as his freshman year. Still only a sophomore. Athletic, quick off the ball. Texas – I mean, I think Texas, you absolutely go for somebody like that. And then maybe don't expect the world from him, but be aware that some of his value for Texas could be 2025 as much as 2024. And I mean, what Eric was getting at early for anyone that missed, Texas is all in on the season from the sounds of it. They're not going to let any stone go unturned in trying to put the best possible roster on the field this year. They know they have a chance to win it all, and they're going to go for it. So – Yeah,
Victor, he is from California, as a matter of fact. USC is going to be in the mix for all those guys. They're trying to up their NIL game. And every time I talk to kids, they're mentioning either Oklahoma or USC as a potential visit. Thank you, Roaster. Roaster's giving you some love. I like that, Ian. He appreciates Ian Boyd like we appreciate Ian Boyd at InsideTexas.com. Come see us. I got this. I like this one from Roaster. When Drew was in the program, it was like the movie, The Program. Boosters slipping bills under the lapel. It begs the question, how many times did you wear a lapel, Drew?
I got paid for every time I wore a lapel, I got $1. If all of that was really happening, I really wish I had my hand in the mix. If there was a cookie jar, I wish I found it.
Do you think it gets exaggerated? Sure
there was. First of all, I am certain there was some cookie jars out there. But it's not like the cookie jars today. There's no way. Like, these guys just walk in without a doubt in their mind that they're going to get, you know, they're going to get taken care of. They're going to be compensated for their efforts. I mean, we used to go to Outback Steakhouse on half price kookaburra wing Tuesdays and, you know, probably get a little more than our fair share for half price, but nah, man, not like it is now.
I was just curious how many times you actually wore a lapel. I do believe the dollar amount, but I don't know about Drew
is a dapper dresser. I've been around Drew before when he's all dudded up. He looks pretty dang good.
I'm not doubting that. He's the brains and the brawn of this operation. Let's just be honest. We got Gray Man here has a good question that I think the answer stays the same for us, but it changes also just because of new names and new faces out of state. How many defensive tackles is Texas going to take? I'm assuming this is for 2025 recruiting. We can do that and for the portal. For the portal, it could be two. Like we had even heard about, it could possibly be three. Like Eric said, Ian, I think, talked about a little bit, there's not a lot of depth behind the guys that are there now. So you're honestly also looking for guys and potentially for next season and beyond. For the class of 2025, I think the number needs to be four. I know if three seems like the bare minimum, especially from a stock standpoint, trying to make sure you've got bodies and guys there. But, Eric, tell me if I'm wrong. Is this a four D-tackle class if they can find the right four guys?
Yeah, it's got to be. Last cycle was supposed to be four, and they fell far short of that. As far as the portal, they've got to restock the shelves. They're losing some real talent and size, not just talent, but, you know, big bodies. You know, Alfred's huge. You know, Vernon's a big dude. Trevondre was massive. And Byron wasn't tall, but he was huge too. So they need guys with size, and guys with size a lot of times take time to develop. So they're behind the curve on that. They're going to be in the portal next year too, I guarantee it. As far as portal, I'd set the over under at 1.5, and I would pick the over on that right now. But, you know, we'll see. We feel good about Bill Norton. Put RPM in for him today. I think they will host the TCU kid, Williams, and, you know, we'll see from there.
I think if we're also talking, you know, 2025 guys, you know, Zion's obviously up there. Keeping Brandon Brown, I think, is imperative to this class. It gets a little lost when a kid commits as early as he does, especially sight unseen, which is kind of rare in this day and age. Texas obviously, you know, built that relationship, come back around with Kenny Baker. That family was on campus. But now Brandon Brown's talking to LSU. He's taking trips to Miami, Florida, and USC. So I think defensive tackle recruiting is probably going to be the most interesting in 2025, not to mention the most important. Another one from Victor Santiago. The guy is just delivering today, fellas. He is delivering. Whoever's burner account that is, you're doing well. How's Blackshire doing? We haven't heard much from him. What about Kendrick?
Not I think someone needs to borrow him a dollar so he can get on IT, man. Blackshire, he's not doing all that great. He's too big. He weighs like 262 pounds. Needs to lose weight. Needs a big offseason between now and August. Right now, I would guess Leonga Lafau is ahead of him, backing up Anthony Hill, despite his experience and despite him coming out of a pretty well-reputed culture at A&M. He's just too big. He's not fat. He's just a massive guy. Go look at high school pictures of him. I used to call him Michael Clark Duncanville because he was so massive. But he's got to get leaner. Football doesn't work that way. There's diminishing returns with size.
Yeah. And Blackshire, he's that kid that you say is big boned because he was big at Mesquite Horn, if you remember. Remember, he was a sophomore.
Yeah, Mesquite Horn, and then he went to Duncanville, and he's just a massive, massive dude.
We thought he was going to move to the defensive line. I think a lot of college coaches did too. And somehow he's stuck at middle linebacker for Alabama with that size. And so, yeah, if he can get a little bit of weight down, I think he'll get on the field a little bit quicker. Ian, I got this one for you because, Eric, it was kind of a takeoff of something Eric had talked about. Obviously, defensive line is the priority in the portal. But if there's one position where you'd like to see a potential upgrade, best player available on this roster that really – supplants them as a contender in 2024. What's a position you think they could add one just to get a little bit better?
Y'all ready for me to kill our ratings? Punter. Who's punting on this team next year? Like the kid that got coming in to punt is like
gonna Michael be Fern.
He comes in the fall. Like what if they get him in the bright lights of DKR and he just starts shanking it?
Or what if he's like Michael Dixon and that first punt goes down Rio Grande?
I mean, and Dixon is like one of the greatest. Dixon is the greatest punter I've ever seen in my life. and he wasn't ready as a freshman.
That's true. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, punting is not the path to victory for Texas this year, but they got to be able to do it sometimes. And ideally they would do it well. So I want to see him use a spot on a punter if they can.
Is that a scholarship spot, Eric?
Well, I mean, the way that they operate, look at the priority they put on special teams. You know, Jeff Banks is a very well-paid special teams coach. Obviously, some of that is a function of tight end. But, you know, he got hired to be – he was a million-dollar man when he got to Texas because of how good he is at special teams in tandem with tight end. So they've always put a lot of emphasis on the position. They play a lot of their best players on special teams. I'm not worried about them. They'll figure out something at punter. I'm not too worried about that. I think they'll find another guy like I'm already drawing a blank on the Stanford kid from last year. My bad. They'll find somebody like him.
Ranson Bragg.
Ryan Sanborn.
Oh. Ranson Bragg. Hey, had to liven it up a little bit.
Solomon
hey.
Thomas. Yeah.
We love Solomon. Capel, Texas, right there. Let's keep it a little bit. We're on portal, but outward, not coming in. Jamon Tapp hit that portal today. You guys, we saw some bursts, some flashes from Tapp over the last few years. He definitely has a big personality. One of my favorite interviews post-signing day at the Army All-American Bowl. A lot of life in that guy. Just didn't make it. Just didn't sort of, you know, check all the boxes. What's the thought on losing Tapp? Is it mainly because the edge position just got built up so much through recruiting and through the portal? What happened with Tapp in your opinion?
At the end of the day, just my opinion, just jumping in here, regardless of the position, once you get recruited over, you just have to start reevaluating where you belong if you actually want to play the game. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So it's not necessarily what happened. It's you weren't able to supplant the guys in front of you. And now the guys who've come in after you have come in and immediately competed, immediately had impact, and immediately brought an element to that position that you didn't bring and no one else on campus brought. And so, I mean, that's just where it is. And so, I mean, if you want to play this game, just go somewhere else and play it and wish you the best. But, I mean, it wasn't as if he didn't have the opportunity to come in and be one of the guys in the mix. So that's going to happen constant. We got to get used to this. And unfortunately, you know, hey, hopefully he finds a good spot to land.
Is that a sign of a healthy program, Eric?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're losing talented guys just because competition is so robust and they want to go play, that's a great sign. You know, every year, you know, the first year that they lost players to the portal, it took them a long – I'll say this. It took them a long time for them to lose a good player. You know, there just weren't many in the program to begin with. And then the ones that they had, they were prioritizing to stay. So, yeah, they first came in. Every year they've made room for more guys, and every year they've upped the talent level throughout the entire roster. So it's the life cycle of college football right now. It is sad. We wish Jamon a lot of luck. I love seeing his family traveling to games last year. It warms your heart seeing them travel in mass like that, representing for their kid. I hope it works out for him. And you always love it when a kid just kind of like he was kind of a fish out of water from where he's from. He just wanted to experience something different. When he committed to Texas, I hadn't talked to him a whole lot. He just reached out to me, started sending me messages, asking me about Texas. And, you know, just, all right, well, I'm on the radar. I really like Texas. And I was like, okay. I thought they had no chance with him. I just earmarked him for LSU. So yeah, you know, you wish him luck. It is always sad because I think sometimes people treat him as chess pieces rather than people. They are people. I hope he lands at a very good spot and he blows it up. He's talented, man. Guys that transfer make it to the NFL all the time. I mean, it's pretty damn common. And not just guys that get poached, guys that just that had to go compete somewhere else. So we wish him the luck, and we wish the next couple guys luck too.
You know, nobody does practice reports like Inside Texas. It just doesn't happen. That's just the way we roll. But there's only two left, Eric. Thursday's kind of light, and then Saturday spring game. What are we going to talk about after the spring game? What's on the docket going into May?
Well, going into May, we're going to –
viewers and readers look forward to.
Well, we got the portal. Apparently, the portal is going to be a little more wild than I anticipated. I thought we were going to catch a little breather, but not that we want a breather. We like having stuff to write about. But the portal is going to dominate the rest of the month. You know, it doesn't close until May 30th, I think. And then even after that, you're going to have guys that are still undecided. And then, you know, recruiting, the May evaluation period is always a lot of fun. We'll all be on the road, me, you, Coach Dub, going to high schools, talking to not just recruits and their coaches, but college coaches that make the rounds. You can always pick up a lot of good gossip from talking to college coaches on the road. And that during that month, we're going to reevaluate the whole roster, and we'll get an idea of Texas's big board, too, because after May is when it really kicks into high gear, when they really have a good idea of who they want and who they're going to push for during Geno V. So, May's actually a pretty fun month. The players get a break. We kind of focus back in on recruiting and evaluating the roster. And then June's all recruiting and you know, 7-on-7 for the team. They're, you know, just kind of milling about.
June is tough. Since the early signing period and the change of official visits and all the little nuances. Don't lie.
Come on, man.
I love it. No, I'm with you. I love it because it keeps us busy and there's always something going on. And June
it's challenging. It's challenging.
Not just that, but you've said this 100 times. June tells the story of July and August.
But July tells the June story. July will tell you how well they set up June. So we'll see. The proof's going to be in the pudding, right? When they start landing guys in June, did they get, you know, most – they're not going to get all their priorities, but did they get most of them or a good percentage of them? And right now we can feel confident that they will.
Ian, Drew, hey, Drew remembers May. It was a fun month for him because you get to unwind. You get to recover.
Yeah.
And you hope you made a play in the spring game because you don't get to play again until early September. Any other parting shots, Ian, Drew? Eric, we've gone a hard 45. We've had some great questions, great interaction. Anything else you guys want to add?
I have a couple things because I'm just thinking through portal. And one is just going to be some feedback I've gotten from a coaching friend of mine that's kind of going through this portal situation right now. And the other will be more about our DT situation. One is the portal. I think what people don't realize right now, because when the portal opened a couple, what was it, 48 hours ago, you expected chaos. But coaching and the coaching staffs are getting smarter with the way they go about it and smarter with the way they're strategic about it. The players do not have the advantage as much as you would think, and they really have never had the advantage. If you're a group of five player, when you're worried about your roster at a group of five level, you're worried about the top end of your roster portaling up somewhere else to go somewhere else. If you're a player at Texas, you're not as worried about the top of your roster. But you do have guys you need to manage out. We're going to call it manage. That's more of a corporate America term. We're going to manage them out of the organization. So that is how they handle it. But what I think is it will be interesting this portal season, specifically when it comes to our DTs, it's slim pickings. There's not a lot out there. And so the question is, will Texas put themselves in a position to go after a guy who's being portaled out of a place or a guy who actually was a leader, was a playmaker? And actually can come in and be an instant contributor and playmaker and contributor and compete for those starting snaps. If Texas pulls that off at the DT position, I would say that's lights out as far as portal production goes. Because right now, I just don't see a scenario where we're raising our floor. Where we're raising our ceiling. I can see where our floor gets raised, but I don't see where we're raising our ceiling in this portal environment. But then from a DT perspective, looking forward, if you guys go to On3, go to InsideTexas.com, go to their portal recruiting, go look at what's happening in the state of Texas, specifically at the D-line position. Go look at the D-linemen in the state of Texas. Go look at them across the country. Just pull up 2025 and go look at how many D-linemen there are. See how many of those are in the state of Texas. You got to go down a ways before you get to state of Texas D-linemen. And then when you look out, like look at 220, look at 2026, you start looking out. These guys, look at the number of guys who even over 300 pounds or even kind of that have that ability to develop. When you start thinking about the premium, the price that's on DTs right now, it is not just in the portal. It's in high school. It starts in high school. You have to be really good at recruiting guys who are big, who can contribute and who are going to work. And that's really hard for these bigger guys, these bigger kids. Some of these kids are going playing basketball like that guy from NC State. So it's to that point now where I don't think DT recruiting is going to get any easier for Texas, but we got to figure out how we handle it in the portal. We got to figure out how we handle it in future recruiting. And it's not right at our fingertips. It's not here in the state. So we got to just come up with a game plan. We can't lose guys here in Texas.
Eric, Ian, are we seeing it? Quarterback's the most premium position. They're going to be your highest earners, most coveted. Is defensive tackle the second position?
It probably should be, in my opinion. It's probably already up there a little bit. I think especially as more and more programs treat NIL as a way to compensate guys for football more so than like their advertising value, like it was supposed to be supposedly originally. The football value of a defensive tackle is really tough to beat. Because of the scarcity, like Eric talks about all the time. And the impact they have on a game is also very substantial, commensurate with their own size. So, yeah.
I think that's why Zion Williams is so important. You know, I see a picture of him with Tavondre Sweat in practice, and I think that's a guy that can play as a freshman if everything lines up. You know, if he comes in with the right mindset, he may have to play as a freshman.
He's not even highly rated. So I think the rankers and the networks poor job of it. Like Alex January should have been more highly rated. You know, I did a post last year at the end of the cycle. I fixed it for him. I did an article where I took the time, generous with my time, and I went through the Texas rankings and I fixed guys like January and Parker Livingstone. I made these guys four stars based on basically they're uncommon. You know, Parker's tall and skinny, but he's fast and with great ball skills. You don't see a lot of guys like that. And then January, look how the guy looks and then look at his tape. He's technically advanced more so than most players his age. So I think the rankers do a bad job of it. People don't, a lot of fans don't properly appreciate, you know, the value of a lot of these guys. But, you know, Texas versus LSU for Zion's going to get crazy. DJ Sanders, Texas versus A&M is going to get crazy. You know, those out-of-state guys, Myron Charles, that stud out of South Florida. I mean, that recruitment is going to be nuts too. So, yeah, there's just not a lot of them, and you've got to get them in high school or you're going to pay a lot more out of college when they're out of the portal.
You know who you don't have to pay a lot more, but just a little bit, is InsideTexas.com. Come see us. For right now, we're having a special IT1. You get 2 months of Inside Texas for only $1. And someone needs to help out Victor Santiago because that man needs to be a part of our community in the Inside Texas Forum. Please come see us over there. Please like and subscribe to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. We sure do appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us tonight. We had so much to talk about, so many good questions, so much good engagement. Any parting shots, gentlemen? Go.
See you at Posse East Saturday, rain or shine.
What about you, Ian? You're not moved in yet. It'll be another month or so, right?
Yeah, I'll be watching from Michigan, but y'all enjoy.
You'll be like Drew. You'll be there in spirit.
Don't get struck by lightning.
Don't get struck by lightning. That's just good advice. That's just good advice. Hey, we sure do appreciate it. Please come see us at Inside Texas Football and make us a part of your day each day. Please like and subscribe. And welcome. And thank you again for joining us on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.